Welcome, and thank you for joining the National Multiple Sclerosis Society's MS Learn Online Internet Program. I'm Rick Turner, your host and medical correspondent. Multiple sclerosis can have a significant impact on every aspect of life, and the world of work is no exception. People with MS are experienced, well-trained, and productive workers who often retain the ability to work long after the illness manifests itself. Today we begin a two-part series focusing on the employment rights of people with MS. This webcast will specifically concentrate on the Americans with Disabilities Act, or simply put, the ADA. The second webcast in this series will focus on the Rehabilitation Act. We're very pleased to have as our guest Chuck Goldman. Mr. Goldman is an attorney in Washington, D.C., with extensive experience in disability law in both the federal government and private practice. Welcome to MS Learn Online, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you, Rick.
Great to have you joining us. Now, I'm sure most people have heard of the Americans with Disabilities Act, but we might not know the details. So what are some of the important facts about the ADA that our listeners should be aware of?
Well, there are many important facts, we start from the fact, one, is that the ADA is no longer a new law. It was enacted in 1990 and became effective for our purposes in 92. It's comprised of five parts. The most important one, to which I'll return in a couple of minutes, is the employment title in Title I, which basically bans employment discrimination in all phases of the workplace, from hiring to on the job to terminations and retirement, being forced to disability and other phases of the workplace. Title II bans discrimination by state and local governments, even in programs that do not get federal money or state money, but any program that state and local government puts on. And Title III bans discrimination in places of public accommodation. Basically, it says if you're open to the public, you must make accommodations to serve people with disabilities. And this Title IV, which we can just gloss over for our purposes today, is important because it makes telecommunications more accessible, relay services, all every 50 states. And Title V, which I'll come back to, has an important fact that says state and local laws that give more protection to persons with disabilities are not preempted. In essence, Title V says, in case of a tie, the state and local government wins and people with disabilities win. Or put another way, Washington doesn't always know best. Title I is probably the most important one because it creates major rights in the workplace, Rick. Under Title I, a person who is qualified to do a job, a person who with the education, the experience, can be, and a person with MS can be such a person, is entitled to equal opportunity in the workplace. And that means that they're entitled to reasonable accommodation in the workplace.
Tell us more about that.
Sure. A reasonable accommodation means we take what we call the essential job functions, the things that you must do to succeed. And we say, how can we make adjustments, relatively minor ones in the workplace, in terms of to enable our person, including a person with MS, to successfully perform these duties. We don't want to radically alter these, and we don't want to make the employer spend a whole lot of money if we can help it. And in the history of ADA, it's very clear that there's no precise formula that accommodations are limited by dollar amount or by percentage of a person's salary. In fact, the history is to the contrary. Mm. You know, legislative history is clear that when Congress had such an amendment before, it rejected it. So on a case-by-case basis, we look at an individual's job and we say, what is it we need to get done here? For example, a person with MS may have problems getting started in the morning because of medications or may find it too stressful to drive during rush hour. And the question we start is, what would happen? We might say, let's have the person report to work a little later and stay a little later. I often give the example of being a toll taker and an accountant. If you're a toll taker on the local turnpike, you actually must be in the job in a certain number of hours in that period of time. You actually have to be on the turnpike there. But if I'm the financial analyst analyzing receipts on the New Jersey Turnpike, I can do that anywhere at various times. Doesn't matter where I am.
Right.
In fact, I happen to be in my office today, but you could be taping this with me at home. I'm still performing my services. And one of the accommodations for people with MS, and I've litigated this issue, is at times to work at home, because we find, particularly if you, as an accommodation, giving that person a day at home helps recharge the batteries physically and allows the person, if the job allows it, to get more energy so that if they work at home, say, Wednesday or Thursday, to complete the rest of the week successfully.
Right.
Generally speaking, we want to not be totally burdensome on an employer. We don't want to cost them a lot of money. And this is where the MS Society knows a lot of information. The Job Accommodation Network knows a lot of information. Accommodations are reasonable unless they are overly burdensome. And generally speaking, most things are not burdensome, particularly in this day and age when a lot of people have home computers and extra telephone lines with call waiting where you can be available, or you can bring in a little fan if it gets too hot, or a little space heater if it gets too cold, or you need a little break. And, you know, if you're tired, you're a person with MS, and you don't want to say, you don't want to disclose it, or you haven't disclosed it, and you're getting tired, you just say you want to take a power nap for 10 minutes. I mean, if it's good enough for the President of the United States, it's good enough for me. It's also good enough for a person with MS. And there's no stigma attached. If your job is to be flying the airplane, you know, you're not going to be able to take a power nap.
No.
If you're a teacher and at a college, maybe we can structure your classes differently than a teacher in an elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
The ADA, for employment purposes, covers employers with 15 or more employees. And here's where Title V sneaks back into the picture, Rick. Because Title V, your state and local laws, may cover the smaller employer. For example, in my home jurisdiction, of the District of Columbia, every employer, regardless of size, if you employ one or more people, you cannot discriminate on the basis of disability. In other states, or in my I have family who live in an adjoining county in Montgomery County, Maryland, where it covers employers with four or six people. There's a debate over that. But the smaller employer is going to be covered by state and local laws, because they have not been wiped off the books by Title I.
Right. In other words, the local laws are at least as stringent as Title I.
Right. They're going to actually be, in some cases, more stringent because they'll cover more people than Title I. And anything you want to do at work should be open to you if you're qualified to do it. And it says to people with disabilities, if there's a problem, you have a place to go. You can file a charge of employment discrimination with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. And the commission has offices nationally spread out around the country.
Okay. What are some of the other facts of the ADA that we need to be aware of?
The ADA, if you have MS, does not require you to disclose your MS on a job application as a general rule. It doesn't require you, once you're hired, to tell your boss that you have MS. Now, generally, pre-employment physicals cannot be used to rule you out. Pre-employment physicals are only for purposes that are job-related consistent with business necessity. So, for example, if you're going to work for a packing company, you may have to take a physical to show that you can lift a certain amount of weight. Or you may have to take a vision test if you're going to need a particular commercial driver's license. But if you're going to be an accountant for the ABC Accounting Company or an analyst for a corporate company in terms of environment or any other social subject, there's no reason to have a physical. So that physical cannot be used to disqualify you. Once you're hired, you may not, a person with MS may not feel comfortable disclosing. And that's where the chapter can help you. The local MS chapter can say to you, let's talk about this. Let's play act out how you do develop a dialogue. And there are resource materials that the MS Society has been prescient enough to develop to show you how to disclose, to work out a disclosure scenario with your boss. You should also know, it's important to know, that only people who need to know get to know about your disability. In other words, you tell your boss, Rick, that I have MS because and I need to an accommodation. That does not give the person license to broadcast to the world that Chuck Goldman has MS. Because the world doesn't need to know that.
Right.
And your medical records under the ADA are supposed to be in a separate, discrete file, kept out of the mainstream, only available for those who need to know. Your privacy is protected. And those are probably two of the more other salient facts that are critical to people with MS. Because sometimes, sadly as it is, we're still living in a stigmatized society. People with disabilities do get stigmatized.
Sure, there's still a lot of ignorance out there. Well, Mr. Goldman, we're just about out of time for today, but we look forward to having you back with us for our next webcast when we'll be talking more about the Rehabilitation Act. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Please note that the information provided to you today is based on well-researched data and professional opinion, but for individual decisions, please consult an appropriate professional. If you have a question that was not addressed, please email us at mslearnonline@nmss.org. If you'd like more information on multiple sclerosis, click on the resources link on your screen or call the chapter nearest you for an answer to your question. You can reach your chapter by calling 1-800-FIGHT-MS, 1-800-344-4867. You may also want to check the National MS Society's website, where you'll find more information about today's topic and a menu of other webcasts available to participate in. Funding for this program was provided as an unrestricted educational grant from these National MS Society chapters. For the National MS Society, I'm Rick Turner, wishing you health and happiness.